Welcome to this special Easter edition of Your Five for Today. I'm Peter Francis, and in the next hour we will explore the true meaning of Good Friday in songs and thoughts. Good Friday is a crucial day of the year for Christians because it celebrates what we believe to be the most momentous weekend in the history of the world. Ever since Jesus died and was raised from the dead, Christians have proclaimed the cross and resurrection of Jesus to be the decisive turning point for all creation. So let's start with the well-known hymn, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, written by Isaac Watts, set to the music of Emrys Jones, and sung for us today by the Treorchy Male Voice Choir. The words to that traditional hymn are so incredible, it is no wonder that Charles Wesley is reported to have said that he would give up all the hymns he had written to have written that one. With such amazing words, the tune Morte Christi ticks all the boxes. Solid foundation in verses 1 and 2, reflection for verse 3, and a rousing and bold declaration in the final verse. Love, so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. The Easter story is truly amazing. It does not just happen on one day. In fact, it is a story that unfolds over one very important week. Starting at the beginning of the week on Palm Sunday, Jesus and his disciples arrived in Jerusalem with Jesus riding on a donkey. The religious leaders were not happy to see Jesus and were angry about how many people were following him. So rather than celebrating, they started to plot how they could arrest Jesus and get rid of him for good. The crowds of people began greeting Jesus and shouting for him, laying their coats down to make a royal road and waving palm branches, shouting, "Hosanna," which means save us. They were greeting Jesus like a conquering king. Here's a German church choir singing a rousing version of "Hosanna, Laud Hosanna." When Jesus was here, he told many stories and they had a particular meaning. Here's one I found recently, which I'm sure Jesus would have been telling to us today. A young married woman had two beautiful children. But one day, as she was standing over the sink washing the dishes, she thought, there must be more to life than this. When her husband came home, he found a note she had written and he began to cry. She would call him about once every week to check on the children, and he would always tell her of his great love for her and beg her to come home. She would always say no and hang up. Eventually, he hired a private investigator to find her. On finding out where she lived, he went to the flat where she was staying, nervously holding a bunch of flowers in his hands as he stood at the door. He'd rehearsed over and over what he would say, and he finally had the courage to knock on the door. She opened the door, and as he started to speak, she suddenly began to sob and fell into his arms. She managed to say through her tears, "Let's go home." Months later, when things were starting to heal, he finally asked her something that had been bothering him. "All those times I talked to you on the phone, I asked you to come back, and you refused. Why did you come back now?" "Before," she started, tears in her eyes, "you were just telling me that you loved me. When you came, you showed me." The Bible tells us that God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Jesus died for us. Now for a more contemporary song written in 1983 by Bryn and Sally Howarth. The legendary guitarist and Christian singer-songwriter Bryn Howarth has released over 20 albums and toured the length and breadth of the UK over the course of his four-decade-long career. In a radio interview, Bryn told the story of how he and his wife Sally were saved out of a classic 1960s sex, drugs and rock and roll lifestyle and into what became known as the Jesus Movement. As a result, they wrote, "What Kind of Love Is This?"
What kind of love is this that gave itself for me?
In order to explore the true meaning of Good Friday, I suppose we need to ask the question, what is Good Friday and why do we call Good Friday good? Well, on Good Friday, we remember the day Jesus willingly suffered and died by crucifixion as the ultimate sacrifice for our sins. is followed by Easter, the glorious celebration of the day Jesus was raised from the dead, heralding his victory over sin and death and pointing ahead to a future resurrection for all who are united to him by faith. Still, why call the day of Jesus' death Good Friday instead of Bad Friday or something similar? Some Christian traditions do take this approach. In Germany, the day is called Sorrowful Friday. In English, in fact, the origin of the term good, some believe, is developed from an older name, God's Friday. Regardless of the origin, the name Good Friday is entirely appropriate because the suffering and death of Jesus, as terrible as it was, marked the dramatic culmination of God's plan to save his people from their sins. Let's listen to an old favourite sung and played for us today by a Canadian group from the Fountain View Academy in British Columbia.
Someday for a cross.
The old rugged cross is where we see the convergence of great suffering and God's forgiveness. Psalm 85 sings of a day when righteousness and peace will kiss each other. The cross of Jesus is where that occurred, where God's demands, his righteousness, coincided with his mercy. We can receive divine forgiveness, mercy, and peace because Jesus willingly took our divine punishment, the result of God's righteousness against sin. Jesus endured the cross on Good Friday, knowing it led to his resurrection, our salvation, and the beginning of God's reign of righteousness and peace. Good Friday marks the day when wrath and mercy met at the cross. That's why Good Friday is so dark and so good. You see, at just the right time when we were still powerless, Jesus died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds we can be healed. Because he was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hid their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, and he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. Let's listen to Alvin Slaughter telling us about the wonder of his hands.
Morning sun, mountains tall, God above, designed them all. Running streams, desert sands, just a few of the wonders of his hands. And I'm amazed when I see all he's done, and to think he did it all for me. Oh, how great, oh, how grand all the great and mighty wonders of his hand. See you.
The Gospel of Luke serves as a tour guide for us as he takes us within the walls of Old Jerusalem. He points out to us the place where Jesus was illegally arrested and taken to Pilate's judgment hall. He points out that place where Jesus was arrested on trumped-up charges and where Jesus was unduly tried and unjustly convicted. Luke shows us Jesus as he falls and as he rises. And then, finally, outside of the western gate of Jerusalem, on a little 18-foot mound that is shaped like a skull, known as Golgotha. There, Luke says, and when they were come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him. Jesus didn't come just to walk on this earth. He came with a purpose. He came to sacrifice himself. Since he is the blameless and sinless Son of God, only he can forgive us our sins. And because he is the blameless and sinless Son of Man, only he can pay the price for our sins. But most of all, he came to save others. Jesus stated specifically in Luke's Gospel, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus wants a relationship with us today and forever. Here's "Worthy is the Lamb," sung by the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir.
See you.
A man visited a home where there were five children. He was supposed to be a kind of godfather to them and was trying to get involved with them on their level. He asked one of the little girls about her doll collection. "Which one is your favourite?" "Promise you won't laugh if I tell you," she answered. "No, I won't laugh," he said. She went into the next room and brought back a doll that was the most tattered, dilapidated, worn-out doll he had ever seen. A real refugee from the rubbish heap. All the hair was missing, the nose was broken off and an arm was cracked. He didn't laugh, but he couldn't cover his surprise. He said to her, "Why do you love this one the most?" The little girl replied, "Because she needs it most. If I didn't love her, nobody would." Jesus said that God is like that. He loves us most when we need it most. He came to love us because we are broken, tattered, and worn out. He loves us when nobody else could or would. What a saviour. Here's Fernando Ortega singing "How Deep the Father's Love." This program is being brought to you by Your Five for Today. You can listen to 5 minutes of spiritual inspiration every day on various radio stations. Our phone line 015-542-53542. Our website your542day.com and our YouTube channel. Daily messages with meaning are available in written form on Facebook and WhatsApp. For further information, email us at your542day@gmail.com or write to us at P.O. Box 109, Swansea, Wales.
Bearing the awesome weight.
The Power of the Cross, performed there by Stuart Townend. At this time of year, we may well ask the question, why did Jesus have to die? I could not illustrate it better than to tell a story about a particular Indian tribe that was suffering from the effects of a severe drought. Food was scarce, and the members of the tribe were beginning to steal from each other in order to survive. As a result, the chief issued a law that the next person caught stealing would be taken to the centre of the village, tied to a pole, and publicly whipped. The next day, sure enough, a thief was caught. Everyone turned up to see who it was and to witness the punishment. To everyone's shock, the thief turned out to be the chief's own mother. What was he going to do? He was a good chief and could not justly ignore the law he had made the day before. He had to be just. But after all, this was his mum. She was old and frail. The beating could very well kill her. And he loved her. How could he cause her to suffer? What should he do? Which should win, his love or his justice? Well, here is what he did. He ordered that her wrists be tied to the pole so the beating could begin. He called the punisher to step forward, whip in hand. But before he gave the order to commence, he stepped in between his mum and the punisher. He stretched his broad shoulders across her frail back, and with her body completely protected under his own, ordered that the punishment should be carried out. As the cords of the whip fell, they fell on him, and he absorbed the full brunt of her punishment. In that act, he was both just in carrying out the penalty and loving by suffering it himself. That is what Jesus did for us. We are guilty of breaking his laws, and we know it. Every one of us has a list of things we're ashamed of and things we cannot stop doing, even though we know it is wrong. The Bible is clear that sin earns a penalty and that God is just. The penalty must be paid. But it is also clear that God loves us. He wants good things for us. He does not want us to be punished. So here is what he did. He declared us guilty and ordered that the penalty be paid. Then he came to earth, became a man, and hung on a cross for us. When Jesus was being crucified, what he was doing was stepping in between us who were guilty and a righteous, holy God who demanded justice. He absorbed the blows of that punishment so we would not have to. In doing that, Jesus paid it all.
I hear the Savior say, "My strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all and all." Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Crimson stain, he washed it white. Jesus died, my soul to save. My lips shall still repeat that Jesus paid it all.
A big thank you to Rory and Joey Feek. We've come to the end of our programme now, and we're very grateful to you for having joined us. The message of Good Friday certainly demands a response, and I hope you'll respond positively to the message today. Thank you for listening. We'll finish now with a lovely rendition of An Easter Hallelujah by Cassandra Starr and her sister Callahan.
A crown of thorns placed on his head. He knew that he would soon be dead. He said, "Did you forget me, Father? Did you?" They nailed him to a wooden cross.
Hallelujah.
3 days went by, again they came to move.